Well, again, this morning, we're just slipping into a little message, I believe, that has been stirring my heart in this particular area. And, you know, how good it is to be able to go to Scripture from the Old Covenant and see verses pointing to the New Covenant. And the New Covenant as being a better and a more personal, a more relational and more intimate covenant to be under, where we're not waiting for someone else to do some service in God, but rather we ourselves are called into that very area where we would do that service. Each one of us are called to go in behind the veil and serve the Lord and know His presence and be empowered by that presence. God's design for His relationship with us was always going to be relational, you know, not positional. Not, well, God's up there and, well, we're sort of lesser and, you know, He calls us into family. Calls us to be His sons and daughters. We understand that. It's always designed to be family-like, the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. And most importantly, heartfelt. Heartfelt. It should be something that stimulates the heart and that we really sense His very presence. And that's so important, you know, that we mustn't forget the stepping up part, because we think it's just going to drop out of heaven because we, you know, thought that, well, maybe that would be nice. But no, we need to press Him. We need to, you know, remember it's prayer, presence, power, you know. And sometimes we get a misconstrued idea on how we step in and how we step closer. Why don't we just pray this morning and ask the Lord to bless this word to us this morning and that our hearts would be encouraged and again challenged to just step a little closer into what the Lord has for all of us. Amen. Father, we again thank You for Your word today, Lord. We thank You and declare, Lord, that it is a lamp unto our feet, a guide unto our path, Lord God. It shows us where we are, and Lord God also shows us where we can go, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the entrance of Your word, Lord God, that it's light to us, Lord God. It enlightens us and, Lord, allows us to see, allows us to know, allows us, Father God, to move forward by faith in You, Lord. And, Lord, we thank You for the word that comes today that touches each and every heart. And, Lord, that every heart is open and ready to receive from You today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Well, as we know, what was lost through sin in the garden was a daily walk, wasn't it? It was a daily walk in the garden in the cool of the afternoon. You know, and if that doesn't speak of intimacy, I don't know what does. Just think about it, you know. Having the Lord just come walking in the cool of the afternoon and wanting to have fellowship there with Adam and Eve. And that was the pattern, you know. That was the lifestyle. You know, God's design for all of us. Was, and we should have this word in our minds and in our thoughts, you know, not as a book of rules so much, but as the very source of life that we're called to, that new life, you know, that intimate life with our Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus said this. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there's Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, living off every one of those words, you know, that the Lord would come and say. And I'm sure, you know, that's, did you hear what He said? Did you hear, you know, could you imagine Adam and Eve having a little quiet chat after having a meeting with the Lord, the God of all creation? Did you hear that? That was amazing. You know, could you imagine that kind of relationship where you're just, you know, having those that time of fellowship with the God of all creation? Wow. And, you know, you see a picture here of God's original design was that fellowship, heart to heart. His design was for us to tuck His law, you know, His word into our hearts and of course, into our minds and into our thoughts, not as a book of rules, but as a very source of life. And you know, not necessarily be using that word to judge others, to find people who are not doing what they should be doing and telling them, etc., but rather to have a lot, like Joan was saying, to having that life emanating from us. That would actually transform people when we come in touch with them and infect them. And we're called to that. We're called to be infectious, you know, with the presence of the Lord. You know, so that He can get out from us and onto them and make a difference in their lives. And we should remember, you know, from our recent series, from sinner to saint, saint to servant, servant to sons and daughters, that you can find it there in the podcast, find that series, goes for a while there, but God starts this relationship with us all the same way. He starts the same way with all of us. He starts with a new creation. He starts with a blank board that he created. You know, wipes it clean. I like that. You ever go and do that? And when you're teaching in class, you go walk in there and someone else's stuff is there. You walk in and you have to wipe it all down. And they've used a permanent marker and it's hard. It's like, who used the permanent marker? You know, God starts the same with all of us. He starts with a clean slate. He makes us a new creation. And we mustn't forget that work of us, you know, of his within us. You know, that washing and regeneration, that new birth that we experience when we come to him. And I'm just going to just say that when we come to him, because there's people here today that are yet to come to him, you know, yet to, you know, actually come into, you know, that place of his presence, come into that place of knowing him and knowing him as King of Kings. And he'll bring transformation. He'll bring a shift and a change in your life that you so need. You know, and the Bible talks about how we're perfected forever. And then he commences a personal process of perfecting, you know, knocking off all the ugly bits. And, you know, we all have them. You know, we all have ugly bits and had ugly bits that needed to be knocked off. You know, as we say, and I enjoyed so much hearing Peter, Lynn and James talking about some of the ugly bits that, you know, the Lord had to knock out of his life. And it was a process. It wasn't instantaneous, you know. And but, you know, we are perfected forever. And, there is no testimony without a test. Isn't that true? You know, there's no message sometimes without a mess, first of all. And I like Hebrews 10:14, and it says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever," he's done it forever, "those who are being sanctified." So he's still working on us. You might think, I don't know if there's any hope for me. Don't worry, he hasn't finished with you yet. Isn't that right? He hasn't finished with you. He hasn't finished with me yet either. He's still knocking little chips off every now and then and a little bit of sandpaper and, you know, just trying to get that polish in. But he's like that with all of us, isn't he? He's still working with us. We're all rough diamonds being chipped away at by a heavenly Father. And he starts to deal with our hearts too. You know, he starts to work in us. It's a process that is relational, but also very personal. And, you know, what he does in one, he doesn't necessarily do in another. You say, well, why didn't God deal with me that way? You know, that I saw him deal with someone else. That's because he's dealing with you personally and individually. You know, Jeremiah prophesied this age, you know, that we're in. He prophesied about it, you know, and this church age of grace where we're all to know him. We're all to understand his hammer and chisel on our lives. And we're all to know that. Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, it says there, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." It's the era of the heart. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me." That's that personal relationship that we can have. "They shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more." Great scripture to remind ourselves of. This is his, Jeremiah, speaking of the new covenant to come, the one that we came into when we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. That Jesus actually, when he said, "It is finished," said it on the cross, he was talking about what we have come into 2,000 years ago and more now, where Jesus made that statement. "But I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more." And what we need to see is that the Lord wants to relate to us based on who we've become in Christ. You know, those new creations, those new creatures. I just want to say this, and I know that it fits someone here this morning because the Lord really impressed it on my heart. Stop trying to jazz the old man up. He's not going to make it. He's not going to get there. The old man's not going to go. He made us new creations, you know. And we need to live as those new ones that he's made us to be, because the old one's not going to make it. He can't be good enough. You can't jazz him up, try and fix him up and get him scoring 100% out of 100. He's not going to make it. So you have to leave the old person who died with Christ, because he's never going to be good enough. And he'll never be acceptable in the sight of God, no matter how much you try to jazz that person up. So we have to live as new creations. Have to be the new ones that we're called to be. And of course, as we know, that new person was created in Christ for good works. You know, so you'll know when you're coming out of that space, because you're coming out of that place of doing good works. Not so that we'll be saved, but because that's our nature now, to do these good works and these good things. You know, the Apostle Paul said it so well in Galatians when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. And he says this, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Great scripture. This talk is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, this is the pathway for sons and daughters of God, drawing close to God, the Father, abiding in close relationship with him, learning to be led by God's Holy Spirit. It's the supernatural becoming natural. The supernatural, where it's just not odd to receive some type of insight or glimpse or nudge from God in your daily life, where he's leading you and guiding you, showing you things to come. That's not supernatural. That's natural for us and should be. Amen. And Romans 8, I like Romans 8, 14 to 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Don't worry, ladies, you're included, especially mums today. All right? These are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. He adopts us as kids, by whom we cry out, Abba Father, or Daddy Lord, you know, Daddy God. You know, that sweet relationship with our Heavenly Father. I love that terminology. People that can call him Dad. People that can call him Daddy. And of course, practicing his presence personally becomes an exciting activity, doesn't it? Daily connection, plugging in, as Jane says, daily connection to your Heavenly Father, being sensitive, tuned in to hear his voice and being led by his Spirit. And you know, you get that picture clear within your heart. It is your loving Heavenly Father guiding us as he would, you know, as you would children who are not quite sure what to do, but he'll grab us by the hand, or we'll hear the voice, you know, say, do this or do that, you know, the next step, the next bit of direction. We can be sensitive enough to know that, and it's that what we're really talking about today, and we'll continue to. We need to know that the new covenant relationship carries a renewed sensitivity to God. All right. Now, here's a funny fun fact. Too many will laugh, but I did spend the first couple of years of my Christian life in a church that didn't believe the leadership, their official doctrine, didn't believe that you could hear from God. They thought that was something for people with grey beards in the Old Testament. That, you know, here, you know, so they didn't actually believe it, and so guess what? People weren't hearing from God. It wasn't because you weren't allowed to, it's just that there just wasn't faith for that in the place. Now, the funny thing was, is then when I did finally get moved by the Spirit of God, it was almost violent to me. It was such an upheaval, to be moved over into a place, and Mary sitting there from Lima, you'll know, the dear place in Victoria Park called Rhema, was a place where they did hear from God, and they thought that it was normal for congregation. There was a thousand or more people back in those days who were in a place where they were being taught how you could hear from God, how you could be led by the Spirit of God, how that was normal for the Christian to live that lifestyle. And guess what? I started hearing from God. I started to hear his voice. I started to recognize that was God's design for his people, to be led by his Spirit. Look what it says in talking about sensitivity to God, because that's what we want to develop in, is a greater sensitivity, you know, being able to hear his voice and know what he's saying and be moved by him. Ezekiel 36 says this in verse 26. It says, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to carefully observe my ordinances. Speaking of, again, you know, Ezekiel prophesying of this day and age that we live in. You know, it's a heart of flesh, meaning it's sensitive to God. You know, it's soft toward him and his ways. Not like a heart of stone, you know. We're able to discern. We're read is guiding in our lives. And of course, it's with these truths that we begin to recognize the sensitivity of the heart or spirit to God's spirit. It's that part of the new life that we come into in Christ that we're called to. And God wants us to live this way. You know, and we should understand that seeking God is, you know, it's not an activity of kind of reaching up into heaven and trying to get God's attention, knocking down on the pearly gates, trying to get some type of response from heaven. But rather, it's more like just tuning into him, tuning into his voice, tuning into his heart with our heart. And that's so important to see, to know his love and, of course, to know his leadership. You know, and I always love it because, you know, whenever I feel God's leading in my life, one of the things that I detected is his love. One of the first things you feel is you feel loved. You know, when the Lord's leading you or guiding you or showing you something, you know, you feel is his intense love, the love of a father, how precious it is. You know, and we are called to abide in that fresh devotion to him, that daily consecration. Now, it might start with a simple prayer in the morning for some folk. Some people like to, you know, spend time just maybe praying in their heavenly language until they just sort of feel that they've kind of locked in. I heard Smith Migglesworth once say that he says, "Whenever I pray, I always start out in the flesh." He said that. So, you know, that little bit of resistance that we get from the old man, you know, the flesh man, that lower nature is normal for everyone. But you have to push through it. You know, and if we resist it and just push through that, we'll find ourselves in the Spirit. He says this, "I always start in the flesh, but I always end up in the Spirit." Always end up in the Spirit. So that can be daily for all of us. Just calling out to God, "Dear God, I just come. I just present this day to you, Lord. I want to see you glorified in it. Lord, I want to walk with you and talk with you today. Lord, I want you to be the foremost and the utmost of my life today." You know, just make those little daily consecrations to the Lord. I tell you, he's listening. And he loves it when we're plugging in. At first, it might be like me in the mornings when I'm trying to plug my iPad in and I haven't got my glasses. Trying to get that thing in, particularly which one is it? Type B? Type C? Type C. They're terrible on iPads. You know. But the thing is, you keep persisting, you know, until eventually you get that connection going. Praise the Lord. You know, God doesn't want us in any other condition but consecrated to him. I like, you know, we need to see, you know, that it's not about our soul so much as it is about our spirit connecting to him. And I like Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, verse 24 there, it talks about, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." But here we have in this passage of scripture talking about, you know, preservation and being blameless in the sight of the Lord and walking on, you know, being upright in our righteousness, talking about those things. He points out that the fact that there's a three-part nature of man, and it's described here by Paul. He speaks of the spirit, he speaks of the soul, and he speaks of the body. And, you know, we were taught, came out of a Bible college that taught the trichotomy, which is those three parts, that man is actually indeed three parts, spirit, soul, and body. We were taught, I am a spirit. That's the eternal part of us, all right? It's the part of us that lives forever, whether we are saved or not. Okay, get that idea, because we don't get eternal life when we come to Jesus. That might shock a few people. We already got it because we are made spirits. We already have eternal life. What we get when we come to Jesus is we get eternal life with him. Now that's the difference. We get eternal life in our heavenly home, in the kingdom. Amen? We already have eternal life even before we're saved. Something to think about. Sometimes we just have to correct our doctrine a little bit, don't we? But we're already spirits, you know, we already have eternal life. We will live forever. And then we have a soul. That's the soul of man. And of course, that's the will, the intellect, the emotions. And of course, we know that that area is very much a part of our initial exercise as an early Christian or a new Christian, is to renew our minds to the Word of God. Because there's life in that, you know. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, you know, there's the will, the intellect, the emotions that need to be brought into line with the Scripture. And that's a process as well. We know that. We've got to start somewhere. And, of course, then you've got the body suit. You know, we've got, we live in a body. So I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And to see ourselves as spirit beings, we have to come back to the original design. Have to come back to the way that the Lord made us in the first place. And to do that, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image." In our image. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his what? Own image. In his own image. And in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Amen. What is God's likeness? What is God's likeness? I love those little answers that come across from the congregation. But what is God? God makes man, first of all, as a spirit. Because what? God's a spirit. Isn't he? So God created man in his own image, and he puts that spirit into our physical body. So that's our first nature, is a spiritual nature, and it's in a physical body. That's the eternal part of us, the part of us that lives forever. We don't become spiritual when we come to Christ. We already were, but what happens is when we come to Christ, we become alive to God. We become alive to the life of God. And that's so important to understand. Even in John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24, it says, "But a time is coming and has come now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth." That's not just a scripture for the worship team. Okay, that's for all of us, you know, amen. And we couldn't get a clearer description than that of what we're called to, of our devotion to him that we must have, and how it needs to come from the Spirit. Our connection to him needs to be by the Spirit and with all true submission from the heart. You know, Jesus observed that religion can result in the wrong approach to God, and it's an approach that is discerned by God. Don't ever think that you could trick God into thinking you're not coming to him the right way, because he looks on the heart. He always looks on the heart. You know, it's that, you know, all you can make all the right noises, you can make all do all the right actions, but he always looks on the heart. Always remember the word of the Lord to Samuel. As he's ordaining David to be the chosen king of Israel, and he's mystified because, as far as he's concerned, some of these sons of Jesse, some of these sons of Jesse are absolutely ideal for the job. He would have given them a Guernsey straight away. You know, the minute he saw them, because tall, good-looking, you know, just the kingly type of people they were. And, of course, God's going, I've rejected him, all the way through the sons, and said, are there any more? He says, well, I've got one son. He's out in the field looking after the cattle. He says, well, bring him in. We're not doing anything until he comes. Beautiful, you know. God's looking on the heart of David. David's out there cultivating relationship with the Father out there in the paddock. He didn't even get invited. But God's chosen him because he's got the right heart. Amen? Men look on the outward appearance, he told Samuel. But God looks on the heart. You can go, you can be doing all the right things but not have the right heart, you know. And Matthew chapter 15, it says there in verse 8, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Wow, we've got to watch out for that, don't we? Going through all the motions, making sure we've got all the right look, but our heart is far from him, saying all the right things. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So let's just remind ourselves, you know, I am a spirit, first and foremost. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Amen? And then, it worked that time. That was the second animation. But when we're born again, that's that last part. Okay, I'll just do that part again. When we're born again, something happens on the inside of us. We come alive to God. It's that newness. And it's that, you know, being alive to God, that spiritual connection from the heart. It's the core part of being sons and daughters. Is that, you know, we really then come into family with our Heavenly Father. And being those sons and daughters is what's required us to grow. And particularly a sensitivity of heart. You know, any time I get around people who are sort of wanting to step into those areas, I love to chat just about, you know, what did that feel like when the Lord showed you that? You know, what did you see? You know what I mean? What? So was that a voice or was that a prompt? You know what I mean? I love to talk about that because that's how you grow in that sensitivity, you know, knowing that there's some you know, nuances to that that are sometimes different. And, you know, you can do a study on hearing from God and you can get caught up thinking that it's a voice, you know, that just is like, you know, this echo that comes down through the clouds. And there is such a thing in the Old Testament as the audible voice. But otherwise, guess where he's going to talk? He's going to talk in your spirit. He's going to talk in your heart. And he's going to speak with a voice that is recognizable to you, okay, no matter how loud it is in the building. No matter how loud the music is. You know, I've sometimes heard of people saying, turn the music down, I can't hear God. Well, we don't need to, because really, if he's going to talk, he's going to speak in our hearts, and we'll know his voice straight away. But I just think about that we're in an era, and really are in an era, where the Lord's developing a greater sensitivity for all of us to know his voice, to know his prompts, and even to see his glimpses. Gifts of the Spirit. Be ready for gifts of the Spirit. Be ready to be woken up in the middle of the night because he wants to show you something. You know, be ready for that. And then get out of bed. Get out of bed when that happens, because he wants to speak and minister to you and show you something that's going to help you in life. Amen? God's called us to that. God's called us all to that. And, you know, for some it's like, no, that's what the ministers, the guys at the front, the pulpit, the people that are doing ministry have got that. No, all of us are called to that. And it's a great advantage in life to be led by God's Spirit in all the affairs of life. To know his voice and to know things to come before they even happen. That's what we should all open our hearts up for. Amen? Why don't we all stand to our feet? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You know, I'm thinking very very clearly this morning about, you know, those dear ones that some of this might feel like it's going over your heads. And I just want you to know that there's a God in heaven that loves you. And not only that, but there's a God in heaven that loves you right where you are. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what you've been through, don't think that God can't reach you where you are, because he can and he wants to. And all you need to do is take that one step toward him and he'll take all the steps that are needed to get to you. Amen? That's the God that we serve. And, you know, for those ones that might be here this morning that are in that situation, I just want to make the invitation that if you'd like to come on down the front after the service, after we sing this song and dismiss, come on down the front. You don't have to come up in front of all these good people and do it. You just come down quietly afterwards. I'd love to pray a prayer with you. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer that takes us from being out of relationship with God and into relationship with God. The Bible talks about coming out of the kingdom of darkness and over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's where we're family with Him. And it's a simple prayer. It's a simple prayer that just invites God to come into your life. And you get to make Him Lord of your life and live for Him now. Amen. It's a great thing. Amen, everybody? Amen. Well, God bless you all. We're going to dismiss on that. I'll just say again, if you're here and you're visiting, please hang around, have some fellowship with us. We'll have some morning tea coming out very shortly. If you have a prayer need you'd like to be prayed for, come on down the front. We'd love to pray with you. But we're just going to go out with a song and again, give the Lord all the glory. So, Father, we thank You again for today, Lord God. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for encouraged hearts, Lord God, that are here today to do Your word, Lord God. We're not just hearers, Lord. We're doers of the word. And, Father, we're blessed in our doing, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray and declare today, Lord God, a change of heart, Father, for those that, Lord God, have been a little dull, Father, in their hearing, Father, a little insensitive to Your voice, Father. We pray, Father, a shift today. A change today, Lord God, over everyone here under the sound of my voice, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.